This episode, I sit with Calvin Cordes, Retail Product Specialist at Pathfinder Bank here in Syracuse, New York. Calvin is a graduate of Syracuse University 2015 and a millennial man making moves in CNY. He works closely with the real estate communities, promoting lending services, handles mortgage loan services with Pathfinder. Mostly, he's seen throughout the community, participating in seminars, educating and promoting financial literacy, working closely with nonprofit organizations and corporations. Calvin has played a key role in developing Pathfinder Bank's Smart Savers program in partnership with Van Dyne Elementary. Let's get to know this millennial man making moves as he emerges into his world of leadership and success. But here are some great content. I really love this conversation. Tune in. Thank you for tuning in to The Unabbreviated Truth with Lakia K. Hill. Today I sit with Cal Cordes from Pathfinder Bank. Let's get to know him a little better. Hi, Calvin.
Good morning, Lakia.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
So I thank you so much for doing this with me. I really appreciate you giving me your time.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
I really love your... Well, see, I met you 4 years ago, right? Just stumbled into a bank for an issue with like a check, and we started talking. And at that time, you were...
I was with KeyBank
with
at that time.
With KeyBank. Okay, so let's go back. Yes, let my listeners know who you are. Give us a little bit about your background.
So, again, my name is Cal Cordes. I am a Syracuse native, born and raised. Graduated from Corcoran High School, graduated from Syracuse University. And I think the banking career happened because I had an internship late in high school, and then throughout college I had an internship. And then upon graduating... started working with First Niagara, and then they were bought out, and I was briefly with KeyBank, and then I came over to Pathfinder Bank. So about 4 years now.
You've been in the industry.
Bank, yep, about 4 years now.
Awesome. And will you please tell my listeners about that growth process? Because I found that banking is one of the industries where you can literally work your way up.
Yes, you can.
Right? It gives a lot of opportunities to people. What have you seen? Talk about that a little bit.
Just like you said, I think banking is great because I have seen people without college degrees. I've seen people with college degrees, with their masters, all people from all walks of life, and they're able to really start on the ground and work their way up. So our current president, CEO, I believe he was a teller at some point briefly, worked his way up, and now he's the president and CEO of our bank and has been for 10, 15 years. And so there's just so many stories like that where they start as a part-time teller and then they get the full-time position, just continue to move up. And my story is somewhat similar. I was what they call a relationship banker. So I was on the desk, like opening checking accounts and doing home equity loans and those kind of things. So basic stuff while also being on the teller line. And then quickly, I think just my interpersonal skills helped, my wits, and I was just able to kind of move up the ranks a little quickly. And now I'm doing the residential lending at Pathfinder Bank.
That is awesome. How often do you see clients in your demographic, millennials, young millennials looking to purchase homes or take out loans?
You know, not as much as I would like to see it. I think that's part of why I'm doing what we're doing now, and just speaking to people in the community. I do a lot of the educational seminars, and I'm out in the community because I don't see it as much. But I do see it, which is good though. So I do see some people looking to come in and get homes. And I just love having those conversations with people.
Now, where do you go to have these conversations, these educating conversations? Are you speaking to high school students? Are you visiting colleges? Like, where are these places?
All of the above. So I've done things with Syracuse University. I've done things at my old stomping grounds, Corcoran High School. I've done things at Van Dyne Elementary School. So really in the inner city, a lot of Syracuse City schools. I've done things with communities like community organizations. Organizations like the 100 Black Men, various different organizations, Jubilee Homes, Southwest Community Center.
Now, you said we do see people come through the doors for those loans, pretty much millennials. However, what are some of the barriers of if they are approved or not?
So I think two of the biggest barriers, and typically it's not necessarily that people don't make enough money, it's primarily that their credit and they don't have enough cash. People have a hard time saving, and people have a hard time with their credit, making their payments on time and things like that.
I found with my son, once he graduated high school, his
the hardest thing for him was to even establish credit, right? He wouldn't be approved for a credit card or a college card. You know, some of these banks online, they have like college credit cards. That's mm-hmm. how they promote them. Mm-hmm. But he wouldn't get approved, and mostly it was because he didn't have any credit. Mm-hmm. So what are some things like someone like him can do, you know, who just finished high school or maybe they're in college and they're looking to establish some credit?
Well, I think it's great. I know you mentioned that your son is a sophomore in college, which is great that he's even having these thoughts. I mm-hmm. think that's phenomenal.
Freshman,
second
semester.
Oh, yep. Second semester, I mm-hmm. apologize. Okay. Yeah, so I think that's great to even be thinking about that. So this story hits close to home for myself. So upon graduation, I was looking to get a credit card and I got denied because I didn't have credit. So, you know, I was a little discouraged thinking I have bad credit, but that's not the case. I just didn't have credit. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of things you can do there. One is if you can get a cosigner, so you can have a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, a loved one, significant other, grandma, what have you. And if they cosign on a credit card mm-hmm. for you, that will help you build your credit. Now there's two things about that. You have to really trust that person because they can hurt you and you can hurt them. So if you're not making your payments or they're racking up your credit card, mm-hmm. that can hurt you. If you're not making those payments or if the credit limit has gotten higher and you can't take care of it, mm-hmm. That can hurt you. But it can also help both of you. So if let's just say you and I, Lakia, got a joint credit card mm-hmm. and I was looking to build my credit and you were just using your card and making the payments for me, my credit would go up as well.
Oh.
It affects us. It affects us adversely.
Okay. So let's say now, mostly in the city, for not obvious reasons, because a lot of people don't know, but in the Black American community, I can only speak for that, particularly based on the information that I have, you know, we suffer from a lack of financial wellness education, right?
I agree.
In our city schools, you know, that doesn't happen a lot at all either. And this is generational. Mm-hmm. So in some homes, you know, some of these kids are first generation everything, you know, first generation college mm-hmm. students, first generation to own a home, mm-hmm. first generation to even have goals and a plan and thinking like this.
Yep.
So let's say, you know, you have a student and the parents, they don't have any credit or they have messed up their credit from the past. What would they be able to do?
So a secured card is another option.
Secured card.
And what that is you essentially put, for example, $500 or $1,000 in a savings account that's locked. It's actually called a CD, a certificate of deposit.
Okay.
And it's locked in there for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, what have you. And it's gaining a little bit of interest, but now the bank has that money as collateral and mm-hmm. they give you a credit card mm-hmm. for that $500 or $1,000 and you're able to go and use that as a regular credit card mm-hmm. and you're building credit that way. So if you aren't making your payments, the bank can take the money that you have with us mm-hmm. and make the payments so we can get our money back.
Okay.
But if you're using the credit card the right way, after a couple of years, what have you, and your credit has gotten better, mm-hmm. we will release the money to you, and now you can apply for a regular credit card, and then you can go and continue to build your credit. So there are ways.
Okay, that's good to know.
And I think it's also important too to have a relationship with your community banks, because sometimes they're able to do things that a bigger bank may not want to take the risk.
Right. That's where I was going actually. Like local credit unions yep. and so forth, they yep. have a little more leeway.
Yep.
in lending. However, with Pathfinder, because even though it's a private bank, mm-hmm. right? It is very community grounded and oriented.
It is.
Right?
Yep.
And are there things that you guys are currently looking into to kind of like address that, being more open, or are there any other projects that you're working on
yep.
right now?
There are.
Community?
Yep, there are. So we're looking at something very similar to what I said, like a line of credit, not necessarily a secure card, but a line of credit that'll mm-hmm. act the same way. So you can put in, again, the $1,000 locked in and it can help you build your credit.
Oh, awesome.
So very similar, yep.
Okay. So what else do you do? Do you do for leisure time? Is like you're just doing banking and that's it, or?
So again, I am very community oriented. So speaking out into the community about these things, I just think it's so important. Like mm-hmm. you said, it's important to break that generational thing, especially among the Black community, mm-hmm. which is very important. So that's something I enjoy doing. Just being out in the community, meeting people, networking, because if I wasn't doing so, I don't think we ever would have made that connection. So
now what did you study in school?
Actually, it's funny. I studied sociology, which is a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that background helped me with people.
Right.
Gave me some interpersonal skills and things along that
so
nature.
So it just like fell in line.
It did. Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. We mentioned earlier about work. When I work with youth, or if I talk to them, or if I have some young adult mentees, mm-hmm. I've always encouraged them to get into banking and starting off as a teller. And my goddaughter, she actually followed in my footsteps. I feel honored, and called me that she's working at Chase now down in New York City.
That's awesome.
As a teller, and you know, she has her 4-year degree from Monroe College, track athlete. She tried all different things, and then somehow she said she landed here in that position. And one of the things that made her do it was because she remembered me telling her that, you know, I'm one of those folks, associate's degree, started off as a teller, following year became a personal banker. 3 years later, we did a merger with Chase Bank. I was with Bank of New York at that time. And then all of Chase bankers, personal bankers, they had to be licensed with their Series 6 and 63. Changed my entire life. So even though I only had the associate's degree, because I had those licenses, after my time at Chase, it made me so much more marketable. Yep. And so I use that because, you know, we push a lot of higher education on our children, college, which also accrues more loans for them. So what are some thoughts or ideas that you think, or advice you could give to those who say, you know, college isn't for me, but I do want to have a career, I want to do something. You know, what are some like ideas or thoughts you can give, you know, those people that are thinking that way? Like, what could I do?
So I think you are absolutely right. I did do the higher education thing, and I do encourage it, but it's not for everyone. Mm-hmm. I have situations where I know friends who have gone to school for 4 years and have 4 years worth of college debt as if they have a bachelor's degree, but they don't. They have their associate's degree or not at all. So, which is very unfortunate. So I think that finding a trade would be very important. So some of these people are very good with their hands. Finding an industry like banking, maybe they want to become an entrepreneur. I think in these situations, it's very important to find mentors or people in the community who can assist with that.
Right.
So, you know, we have someone like myself. If someone comes to me with something like that, and it's maybe something I can't personally help them with, but I would direct them to, I have a vast network, and I can direct them to people that I know that there might be a better fit for them.
Right. That's good. So you are an incredible resource, which is why we're actually doing this. Mm-hmm. So for the Rise, See, and Why podcast. Coming soon to a podcast near you. No, a platform near you. But seriously, I think that's really important. And so what do you do? Like, where do you network? Where could someone go to network among young entrepreneurs or young professionals here in Syracuse or Central New York?
So I think Center State is a great resource. Center State is the Chamber of Commerce, acts as the Chamber of Commerce for our area. And they have a vast, vast network for entrepreneurs. So if someone's looking to get certified, they can help with that. If they're looking for work training, they can help with that. Business development, they can help with that. Even where we are now at the Tech Garden, they have incubator. Okay. where people can go and have a space for them to work in and grow their business until they can buy their own space or rent their own space.
Right.
So that's one of many places. There are like a Ricky Brown, Upstate Minority Economic Alliance.
Yes.
That's another resource. So there's a ton of different things that people can look at.
Now tell me, how important do you, so I hear very few leaders talk about their own self-development, professional development process, or if even they do it. What about you? How do you kind of reinforce your techniques and your styles and the information that you know, or how do you keep abreast?
I'm someone who's always, always looking to learn. I think that you can learn from every experience, every person. So I think I'm a good listener. I like to talk to people and hear where they're coming from and then do some research on my own. Mm-hmm. So I'm always looking to grow. I do residential lending. Whenever I have opportunities, I'll go on commercial calls and look at commercial lending deals, just whatever. Just like you said, I am not licensed. So if I have an opportunity to sit down with someone who is licensed and understand those conversations, and even global, bigger than banking, so if there's just any opportunity that I can go and learn, I like to jump on those opportunities. So just continue to listen and learn and keep my mouth shut.
Stay right there. Say that one more time.
Keep my mouth shut and listen.
Right, because it's so hard. Like, I think that communication is like a big fail. I'm not being pessimistic. It's true, because I find that people aren't really effective at communicating anymore. Like right now, you're giving me direct eye contact. Mm-hmm. You know, like we're nodding at one another and make sure the other person is heard, not talking over one another. Where do you think that comes from, though?
I think that's just a shift. The social media stuff is big. Mm-hmm. Just the interpersonal skills. You can just text someone now instead of, you know, calling, and how it used to be.
Right.
So I think there's just a shift in the day and age, to be honest.
How important, though, do you believe that being a good listener is to a person's success?
Critically important. I don't think at any point anyone should stop listening and just doing all the talking. You can always learn.
Right.
Always learn.
And when you are talking, what?
You're not listening. You're not learning.
Right, exactly. And also for me, it's like if you're going to speak, make sure you process your words before you say them.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Do you mind me asking your age? Some people don't like me doing
that. No, I don't mind.
Because I meant to ask you before.
That's okay.
And no. I'm just asking now because I could always just cut that out.
I'm 26.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. I thought you were around that mm-hmm. age group. So, okay. So now, young adult millennials, basically. Now, first of all, how do you feel about that term, millennial?
I think millennials get a very bad rep.
Right.
I think that they say that we're lazy, we're not hungry, and I disagree.
Right. So what do you think about you guys then?
We are definitely different because we come up from a different time than the baby boomers. There's more access to technology and those things. But I associate myself with a lot of millennials, and everyone that I associate myself with is hungry and
right.
out doing things.
They're ready to eat.
Exactly.
Right?
I'm starving.
So. I was saying high five. No, can I just tell you how I'm so happy to hear you say that? Because I don't... Like, where I'm from, that's how we talk. Like, that's what we're saying. Mm-hmm. It's like, yo, we're hungry. It's yep. like, time to eat. How yep. are you gonna eat? And unfortunately, I'm a mentor to, like I said, two young adults and one high school student, mm-hmm. right? The high school student, she's in 11th grade right now. She's 17 years old. And being a part of her life in the Syracuse City School District took me into a whole other world, because I've had some privilege in my life. You know, when I was younger and growing up, I was able to kind of like see that. And I came here with a mindset of thinking that there was a one way of life for people. It's okay. just like, you know, and I realized, like, I grew here so much in Syracuse, I can't even begin to tell you how much.
What do you mean the one way of life?
Like the one way of life, meaning like, I think I learned that with my own self, I had always been driven, right? I've started really early, 14, 15 years old. I was like doing Myers-Briggs on myself. Like I've always had like this vision for myself on who I would be mm-hmm. and how it would be for me. And I was, even though I have other siblings, I was raised as an only child with my grandparents. And you know, they were upper middle class workers. And then by the time they retired, they were doing pretty well. So I never really struggled. I fell into poverty when I moved to Syracuse. I'm a person who actually fell into it. So that experience for me, I don't really get to talk about a lot, but it was an eye-opener, mm-hmm. and it made me even more passionate about service, because I've always been in the mindset of serving, but the way I look at serving now that I'm here is different than I did before I moved here from Yonkers, right? So when I say I grew here, I think that upstate Syracuse particularly is like a promised land for me, in my opinion. Like there's so many resources and so many opportunities for people to kind of like not pull themselves out, because that's too easy, but to nurture their brain and their mindset, right? To expand themselves and their lens. And then, unfortunately, but it's true, you know, go off out into the world. I think it's like an education hub, you know, and now fast forward, I moved here in 2013. So fast forward, I'm starting to see some opportunities for people to kind of stay. But like from 2013 to 2016, all I saw it was a place you can come and just build, learn, develop, and then just take over the world, right? And not stay. But then you guys come, I started seeing more young adult millennials, mm-hmm. you know, raising up and creating spaces for people to come together and network, have a good time. You know, the events are different. It's not so structured or just learning mm-hmm. all the time. They're quote unquote fun, which is fantastic. But like I said, when I first came here, that's all I seen. It was just like, this is what you're supposed to do. You know, if you have it here, you take advantage of it, and you're supposed to be living this life of growing. But then once I got into the lives of my mentee, I started seeing like, that's not easy for everyone. That was too easy to kind of like say, you know.
I think that's a very, very interesting perspective. Mm-hmm. I know I've had a few conversations with some people, and I think it's very, very important that when people, so people who are either from here or just coming here, that there is a network for people to see that Syracuse has more to offer. Mm-hmm. Because it is tough when you're here and you don't know anyone. It's tough to like, where do I go? Like,
yes,
what do I do?
Extremely tough.
I understand that. And I know that, again, even people who are from here, like I know friends who've been here all their life and they're like, Syracuse is so boring. Like, why am I still here? But so I'm someone who, I'm very fortunate. I guess I was lucky that I've been able to meet certain people in my life. It's took me in different directions, so I know about some of these things. So I've been speaking to some people, and I think that is, that shift is starting to happen.
Yes.
So we can get a network out where people know, not even just socially, but education and professionally, that if they want to do something, that they have resources and their ways to do it. So I personally am trying to work on some things that are, I don't necessarily want to talk about now.
No, that's fine.
But yeah. I think there is a shift coming to help with that.
Yeah, it's crucial, man. It's like,
it
is so important.
For people's sanity.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, you're right. And I came here with my job, and it was a state education. I mean, it was a state education campaign, but all my work was statewide, and so my network was kind of like handed to me. But it was a barrier breaking into the Black African American community of leadership for, you know, we have our own, this is Real Deal Hill Show, we all talk about the real stuff.
Yep.
You know, so that I found that harder than when it was for me of working with other people from other backgrounds, other nationalities.
I get it.
Unfortunately. Yep. And, you know, but we're here now, and I'm looking to also contribute to, in whatever way that I can, I'm looking to contribute in whatever way I can also, and then helping people that are already here and live here and from here, or new people to come in, by doing the Rise with CNY. And
I think that's great.
Introducing them to people like yourself, or, you know, so that they can listen and say, hey, now, where can I find Cal Quarters? So where can they find you?
I think that's great. So I'm actually not on social media or anything like that, but
okay.
I can give you my email address. Mm-hmm. My email address is Cal, C-A-L, period, my last name, Quarters, C-O-R-R-I-D-E-R-S, at pathfinderbank.com. So I encourage you to email me if you're looking for anything. And if I'm not able to directly help you, we'll find someone that can.
Awesome. And why are you not on social media, real quick? Because I find that very
I don't know. I just hear so many stories, and I don't like getting caught up in that stuff.
Okay.
I don't like to see all that stuff. So I just choose to just stay away.
I love it. All right. Tip time.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
I'm so glad to have you. I love having you. Give me a hug, because you're so wonderful. Thank you so much for this. All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in. And I'll talk to you next time with my next guest to empower you and encourage you and give you the information that you need to be positive, productive in your 3 E's life.